Hello, everyone. We welcome to the NovaCare Complex. I'm Dave Spadaro, and we are in the heat of it all here. The playoff chase is on as the Eagles enter the stretch run. A remarkable series of emotions on Sunday. Philadelphia finding out officially on Sunday morning that Adrian Peterson, Toby Gerhardt, among others, would not play, and then promptly went out there and were beaten soundly by the Minnesota Vikings. The loss was 48-30, and it was every bit as lopsided and ugly as that. The Eagles playing from behind the entire game. Minnesota moving the football up and down the field. Matt Castle really, really good against some pressure here and there. Greg Jennings, a career day for him. Already a good receiver, but Eagles really had no answers for the Vikings' passing game, and they knew going in that Minnesota would have to throw the football without Peterson, without Gerhardt. And Castle did just that, throwing for 380-plus yards and making the Eagles pay down the field. Eagles sloppy in this one. 9 penalties, 94 yards in lost yardage. They were struggling in the red zone, 2 of 5, 3 attempts in the first half, 0 touchdowns. And Eagles made a run for it late in the third quarter, got to within 27-22. But then the Vikings, the offense just unstoppable on that day, and the Eagles defense has a lot to answer. The special team, I mean, everybody. There was no one happy leaving the Mall of America field on Sunday as the Eagles' 5-game win streak comes to a halt. And then everybody got on the airplane and things changed a little bit as the Dallas Cowboys had an epic meltdown, blowing a 26-3 halftime lead and falling shockingly to the Green Bay Packers. So the picture in the NFC East remains the same as it did 24 hours ago. The Eagles have a 1-game lead in the division, 8-6 over the Dallas Cowboys, 7-7. The wild card, not going to happen. So it's division or go home for the Eagles, who still lead the NFC East with 2 to play. And you see the division leaders, you see the playoff picture in the NFC. It is going down to the wire. That's what everybody wanted, right? This is meaningful football in December, and the Eagles have a tough one on Sunday night when the Chicago Bears, first place in the NFC North, come to town with that very potent offense. Chip Kelly meets the media at 1 o'clock. We've got a lot to talk about today as we rehash the loss to Minnesota, talk about the Eagles from a health standpoint, and try to figure out ways how they can fix the wrongs from yesterday's defeat. Let's get you first caught up with today's headlines with Chris McPherson.
Good afternoon, Eagles fans. Certainly the team and the fans a little bit down after the tough loss to Minnesota, but everyone's spirits were a little bit uplifted thanks to those Green Bay Packers who rallied from a 23-point deficit to come back and beat the Dallas Cowboys, meaning that the Eagles maintained their 1-game lead in the NFC East. Now, on Sunday Night Football, the Eagles will host the Chicago Bears, who have plenty to play for in their own right. They're 8-6 coming off a 38-31 win over the Cleveland Browns. Currently, they maintain a half-game lead over the Detroit Lions in the NFC North. The Lions play the Ravens tonight on Monday Night Football. Key game for the Lions, because they currently would hold the tiebreaker over the Bears if the two were tied atop the NFC North. DeSean Jackson continuing his amazing season with 195 receiving yards. He's 5th in the NFL in receiving yards this season with 1,275. That's a new career high for him, and he has a chance to break the all-time single-season franchise record for receiving yards in one campaign. Injuries to watch, especially the secondary. Earl Wolfe missed his 4th consecutive game with a knee injury, but other players came out of the game. Kirk Coleman suffered a hamstring injury. Colt Anderson suffered a knee injury. And Brandon Boykin suffered a head injury. We do not know at this point if it was a concussion or not, but certainly 4 key members of the secondary, all players to watch on the injury report in the coming days. And Chip Kelly will have an update on that in just a little bit. He will address the media in his weekly day after press conference at 1 p.m. That does it for your headlines. Let's send it back into the studio for more with Dave Spadaro.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. It has certainly been quite a ride here for the Eagles this season. They begin the year with a big win in Washington, then drop to 1-3, get back to 3-3, fall to 3-5, and then a 5-game win streak snapped yesterday in Minnesota. So Eagles still in good position here, very good position, controlling their own destiny and It's pretty much all you can ask for at this point, as the Eagles have two games to go. Chicago on Sunday night, nationally televised game, and then at Dallas to close out the regular season. When we return, we talk about the Eagles' offense. Good numbers, but not as much as the Eagles wanted. Some opportunities for points left on the field. We'll talk about that. And again, Chip Kelly comes your way at 1 o'clock. I'm Dave Spadaro. It's Eagles Live. We'll get your phone calls shortly as well. We know the Eagles fans out there are anxious about everything that's going on. A lot of emotions yesterday. We'll talk about it on the other side here on Eagles Live.
Have you started shopping?
Just waiting for inspiration to strike. And there it is. Done.
Genius.
Give the gift of Dunkin' Coffee. Get 3 pounds for $19.99. Only at Dunkin' Restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
This holiday season, my good friend gave to me 7 Powerball tickets, 6 max, 6 chances, 5 cash buys, 4 big 4s, 3 daily numbers, 2 Mega Millions.
Happy holidays, Rita.
Thanks, Joe.
What a great gift.
Pennsylvania Lottery tickets make great gifts, like the new $20 Merry Millionaire.
Happy holidays.
And best wishes from the lottery.
Nice sweater.
Thank you.
Festive.
You know it. Hey.
Wow.
I know, right?
I knitted it myself.
Get in the spirit with Dunkin's new Red Velvet Latte. Pick up any medium latte for just $1.99. America runs on Dunkin'.
I'm Chip Kelly, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Happy holidays to all you Eagles fans out there.
The ups and downs of the long NFL regular season. The Eagles certainly looking to bounce back after the loss in Minnesota. And to do so, they're going to have to put some points on the board against Chicago. An outstanding offense coming to town. We'll talk about the Bears, obviously, as we get closer to game time. On Sunday, the Eagles put up some big numbers against the Vikings, but they didn't do it the way they've done it, and that's kind of the big question here. The ground game, so effective all season with LeSean McCoy leading the way in the NFL. Well, not much at all. Just 79 rushing yards outgained by the Vikings. The Eagles falling behind early and abandoning, for the most part, LeSean McCoy, just 8 carries, the run game. So they go to the air, and Nick Foles has a big day, 475 yards. But the key there, 2 of 5 in the red zone, and overall, 9 penalties for the Eagles. It wasn't exactly what Chip Kelly had in mind. 30 points, okay. But there were a lot of points the Eagles could have put on the board. No question about it. With the Vikings down 3 cornerbacks, Eagles just did not take advantage. And as head coach Chip Kelly said after the game, the offense shared in the blame for the defeat.
Nick, everybody, I don't think we played well on the offensive side of the ball. We were not on track and did not do what we normally do, and what's led us to, you know, when we were 3-5 and kind of dug ourselves out of a hole there, and we were playing well on the offensive side of the ball and had a rhythm to what we were doing, and today we didn't. So I saw the ball, and I think he missed. I don't think he even saw the corner. I think he thought he was wide open, and then I didn't see the tail part of it. So now we got down a little bit there, and we really weren't moving them very well up front. But I think some of the, you know, trying to take advantage of some of the matchups in the passing game, you know, and trying to free up LeSean and those guys in terms of also using. I thought LeSean was a very good weapon in the passing game itself, you know, with the screen passes and some of the underneath routes, you know, and didn't convert in the red zone, you know, and then we're down, and it felt like we were down 2 scores all the time. So. Just trying to get back into it. Even when we were down at halftime, you know, we drove at the end of the first half to get 9, you know, and felt like we could come out at the beginning of the second, first drive of the second half, get something going. First down, we get something going. Then we take a sack on second down, and, you know, that hurts us. You know, we got to be able to not put ourselves in those negative situations. We got to, you know, if we felt like down, I think it was 17-9 at the half. We score there, and we're back in the game. And so, I thought we could have made it, and I also thought if we don't make it, we're in trouble. You know, if we can't gain a half a yard, maybe it tells you what the day's all about. But you know, you got to think in fourth a half a yard, we can get a half a yard. So they didn't blitz. It wasn't like there was an all out coming at us. You know, we need to come off the ball and get some movement at the point of attack and dig ourselves out of that hole right there. You know, we hadn't gotten anything going at that point in time. So, you know, hoping we could jumpstart something there. So you can't cut going back towards your own end zone. So I thought it was, you know, it's the right call for what the penalty is. So he has to seal that guy. You know, and I don't think he had to cut him. So tell him the same message that I told him when we were 3-5 is that we didn't play well enough to win today, but we need to stick together. And that's what we did when we were 3-5, and that's what we'll continue to do if we're going to be able to finish this thing off the right way.
Kind of a crazy day for Nick Foles, who threw for more than 400 yards. His second game this season with more than 400 yards in the air, joining Randall Cunningham. Sonny Jurgensen is the only quarterbacks in Eagles history to have 400-plus yards in two games in a season. Also did some damage running the football, but missed receivers a little high, threw the interception to Sean Prater, which was a strange route. DeSean Jackson open early, and the Eagles, again, in the red zone, not putting up the numbers that they wanted to. The good news here, look, we have raised our level of expectations so high for Nick Foles that when he has this kind of a day, 30 of 48, 420 yards, 428 yards, three touchdowns, one interception, the passer rating still high, we still say, boy, Nick just didn't play the way we're used to seeing him. That's how good he's been this year, and he'll get back to that against the Bears. That has everybody pretty excited. The Eagles have a good matchup against Chicago on Sunday. Nick Foles, though, after the game on Sunday in Minnesota, feeling like one just got away.
Yeah, we didn't get things going early on, and that really hurt us, hurt the momentum of the team. So just looking back, we really need to, hurt ourselves early. We really need to execute early on in the game to get the momentum, because we knew, this team, they played their hats off. The Vikings, had a great game plan. They played hard today. They outplayed us today. But it's games like this that make you better, that you grow together, and there's a lot to work on from that game film, so a lot of corrections to make.
Did you do anything you didn't expect?
No, they just, we had answers. I just got to execute better and put us in a better position at times. I missed some throws and, made a few mistakes that I'll continue to work at. And, as a quarterback, you can't put your team in that position to where, you make a mistake, like throw an interception or whatever it may be. So that's where you just, you keep playing football. You keep grinding. There wasn't a second throughout that game that the team didn't keep fighting and staying in it with one another. And that's why we have a great team here, is because we're gonna come back to work. We're going to be hungry like we always are, and we're going to fix the mistakes we made, and we'll be better for it. I think it's just the game of football. You're not always going to play at an extremely high level. And the one thing, I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep playing for my teammates. I'm going to make mistakes. I've told you that before. I'm not perfect by any means. I will make a mistake, but I guarantee you I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep fighting for the guys in that room. I'm going to keep fighting for the guys on that field because I love those guys. And, yes, I made mistakes today, but, I'm a person that I understand them, and I take it to heart, and it hurts. But it goes to the 24-hour rule where I'll look at the film, I'll understand it, and I'll fix it. And I'm going to keep pushing these guys because we have a great team here, and we'll get better because of it. Yeah, I definitely missed some throws. Was high on a few, inaccurate on a few. And those are the things where you go back at the film and just see why it was, and you continue to work at it. And, got to make sure as a quarterback that on those plays, especially in the clutch, in that situation where it's 2 minutes or you're down, you got to keep fighting. And, I'm going to get better for it. Obviously you don't want to throw a pick, but, that's not how life is. You can't have a play back and a do-over. So I don't even go there. I get that out of my head and I look at it as, all right, I made a mistake. What can I do next time to not do that mistake? So therefore it'll make me a better player. I'm not going to let this game defeat me. I'm going to let this game make me better. I'm going to learn from it. Our team's going to learn from it. And we're going to stay together throughout this whole thing, and we're going to make each other better. That's the one thing in the locker room. Not one person, obviously you're frustrated, you're a competitor, you put it all on the field, you sacrifice your body, you do everything. you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's tough, but we have a great fellowship of people in that locker room that we're going to keep fighting. We're going to stick together because that's what the Philadelphia Eagles are. You know, we're a team, you know, we're a family, and, you know, it's a special place. And, you know, I'm excited to get back to work and analyze what went wrong and fix it. And I know the guys are too, and they'll be ready to go.
All right, so that is Nick Foles on the receiving end on Sunday. DeSean Jackson, what a ball game. What a season Jackson's having. He's got 75 catches, 1,275 yards. He's averaging 17 yards per catch with nine touchdowns. DeSean Jackson deserves to be in the Pro Bowl, and he lined up all over the formation on Sunday and was so effective. Eagles need him to come up big down the stretch, no question about it. Targeted 16 times, 10 catches, 195 yards and a touchdown. DeSean Jackson was awesome, and yet so much of the attention directed at him after the game for a little sideline emotion. That's all it is, emotion. A frustrating day for everyone, despite the big numbers. Jackson just wanted to win.
I mean, you know, it's a point in the game where, you know, a lot of emotions, you know, we played this game with a lot of emotions, and there's one of the things that happened. So, I mean, I can't really discuss what happened. That's what happened on the field, and it is what it is. But at the end of the day, we lost the game. You know, we felt very comfortable and confident that we should be able to come out there and win. We didn't play good enough. You know, all areas of the football field, we didn't play good enough to win. So, at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
You know, we lost. No one loves to win. I mean, to lose. So, you know, as far as being frustrated, I mean, that's a part of playing this game. You have to try to control your emotions and things like that. But very frustration. I mean, a lot of frustration, honestly. I just thought, as a team and as an offense, we should have came out there and you know, just been able to have a lot more success. We wasn't able to have it. It's neither here nor there. We just wasn't able to get it done. So I go in every week, you know, with the opportunities to go out there and you know, make big plays for this team. So as far as this week or any other week, you know, I feel the same going to any game. And I still feel I'm one of the best receivers in this league, and I could go out there and, you know, contribute to help my team win. You know, first half, obviously wasn't able to get going, scored 9 points. It's definitely not going to get it done. So we just got to figure out as a team. And like I said, felt we was in a good position to you know, take advantage of our, you know, success going into the playoffs and things like that. But it's definitely just going short. On the short end of this game, so we just got to figure it out. I mean, I felt, you know, I ran a great route, great play call. I felt I was open. I guess Nick, you know, wasn't able to see it right away, so I just thought I was open, and you know, it took a little bit for the ball to get there and looked up, and I guess the guy came off of Riley at first. You know, when I ran the route, it wasn't nobody on me. I mean, I didn't, like I said, I felt I was open, so just the timing on that, I didn't feel him. You know, right away, I didn't feel him. So, you know, looking up, I was just trying to make a play on it. He just came off his man, and I just looked up, and he was right there. He made a play on the ball. So, I mean, I don't see why we should be failing. You know, we got a lot going, a lot riding on this game today. So, you know, for anybody to be partaking in going out there and not really having the energy and, you know, not having the animosity to go out there and win an important game like this, so I can't see it in my eyes. No, I know how big of a game this was, and you know, that's why I was trying to do any and everything I can to win this game. So I said a little bit of frustration here and there on the field, but that just, you know, goes with me wanting to be a very high competitor and win the game. You know, I wasn't able to get that done, and I just felt something about that game, how things was going. You know, we wasn't able to get things done. I was frustrated. Like I said, it's just a frustration part because I know how talented and how dangerous this offense can be. So, you know, throughout that game, you know, seeing us not being able to get things going and just off really was frustrating for myself.
There was a punt.
And just think how much more it could have been for DeSean, that end around, the handoff to Riley Cooper, the pitch to DeSean Jackson, 4th and 1. Jackson takes it 18 yards for the touchdown, called back because of the low block from Nick Foles. Great call, great execution. Just stay above the waist next time, Nick, and let DeSean do the work. In the locker room we go. We begin with LeSean McCoy. After his record-setting day against Detroit, 217 rushing yards. How could we forget? Just 8 carries, 38 yards. He did have 5 catches, 68 yards. He had 106 total yards of offense. really caught the ball well, had a lot of room to run. And in the locker room, not frustrated by the number of carries or touches, just frustrated that the Eagles lost the game.
That's the only thing about this situation is sometimes being down so fast, you got to go to something else. And the type of competitor I am, you know, I want the ball at all costs. You know, but it's a time like this where you have to throw the ball, you know, it really kind of eliminates the running back. We had them by down five coming back. Just that we didn't finish up. Well, the good thing with Coach Kelly is we have an understanding. You know, he knows how competitive each player is. You know, sometimes, hey, Coach, you know, let me get going, or let me get this player, that player. You know, but he does a great job of distributing the ball out to all the players and you know, getting everybody enough touches. So there's no need to really tell him what to do because he knows what to do. Each week I feel like I'm going to have a load of carries in the air or on the ground. But like I said, I mean, I felt like today we had to throw the ball, getting down so early. We didn't expect to be down, you know, so fast.
I thought we didn't have as much energy as we usually had. But at the same time, we had some opportunities in this game, some critical plays, you know, some a touchdown or two called back or a penalty that knocked us out of, you know, those types of things. And lost our cool toward the end. So we're just trying to get better with those things, and hopefully those things are just this game and we don't carry it over into the rest of the season.
I'm feeling really good. The momentum was all on our side and, just got it handed to us. So now all you can do is refocus and try and focus on next week. You know, everybody always puts a lot of emphasis on number of carries and stuff like that, but that's always, there's so many other things that dictate that. And we got down early, and when you're down, every coach is going to start calling more pass plays. It's just kind of the way you have to start going. So, I think that had a lot to do with the limited amount of carries, as well as them being a little banged up at quarterback as well.
All right, so that's where we are with the offense. Now we've got to talk about the defense and the special teams. Certainly adjustments must be made in time for the Chicago Bears on Sunday when we return to Eagles Live. We talk defense, we talk special teams, we talk to you, and then Chip Kelly talks to us, coming your way on Eagles Live in just a moment.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
That's you, Jones.
That's me. Mm-hmm.
You're home for the most live sports. Xfinity.
It's time for the annual shareholders meeting. There will be the usual presentations on research and development. Some new members of the team will be introduced. The chairman emeritus will distribute his usual wisdom. And you? Well, you're the chief life officer. You just need the right professional to help you take charge.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling, and I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Dave Spadaro with you, Eagles Live, the name of the show, Chip Kelly's press conference at 1 o'clock, and he'll update some key injuries. Brandon Boykin, how about Kurt Coleman? How about Colt Anderson? Do the Eagles get Earl Wolfe back in the lineup? As I certainly am hopeful to have him back. The Eagles need some help in that deep secondary, especially with some injuries, some big plays allowed Sunday against the Vikings. The defense giving up far too much against a Minnesota offense that, as we all know, played without Adrian Peterson, played without Toby Gerhardt. Didn't matter to Matt Cassel. He had a career day. He threw the football very accurately, moved away from pressure, and you just see against that soft zone, a lot of receivers wide open. Greg Jennings, a huge game. Excellent game plan from the Vikings. They moved Cassel in and out of the pocket. And again, through the football, catching runs, missed tackles, bad performance from an Eagles defense that had been absolutely outstanding in nine previous games. The Eagles doing a nice job previously, but not on Sunday as you take a look at the numbers. And Chip Kelly acknowledging after the game that, yeah, the defense did not play well.
You know, I thought we knew going in that was going to be an issue in terms of very talented at the receiver position. And, you know, right from the get-go, I thought Cassel was on fire and throwing the ball around a little bit. I know Billy tried to change some things up and changing coverages, and we need to generate a little bit more pressure on him and make sure that he can't set his feet when he throws. But we need to be a little bit closer in coverage, too. Yeah, I think Kurt's done a good job in practice and just trying to find out, you know, since Earl's been down, trying to find out where we are. You know, I think Kurt deserves some time, and we're just trying to figure out who can play. That will be straightened out. You know, that's not how we're supposed to play, and obviously unacceptable, and we'll take care of that. Was he benched for the taunting? No, I think Billy handled that at the end. I'll talk to Billy and get that straightened out. I didn't bench him for taunting, no.
So you don't know what Harry
did? I'll talk to Billy, I said.
All right, the Eagles had some issues at safety on Sunday after the 57-yard Cassel to Greg Jennings touchdown in the first quarter. The Eagles making a roster move, a personnel change in the lineup, putting Patrick Chung on the sidelines, inserting Kurt Coleman onto the field. Coleman played until he suffered a hamstring injury. A tough break for Coleman, who was glad to be back on the field and really wanted to impress the coaching staff.
And obviously, it's a little disheartening, you know, being able to get out there finally, and, you know, it comes up. But, you know, whoever we got to go in and fill in. I'm going to try to get as healthy as possible and as soon as possible. So I'm just going to do whatever I can to get back out there. You know, he didn't make bad decisions, you know, went to check down when he needed it. You know, and I think a couple deep balls early in the game hurt us. And then from what I saw on TV, it seemed like a couple pass interferences kept the drive alive. You know, and they had a steady run attack, which, you know, complemented what he wanted to do with the play action and everything else. We got to forget about this game. We got to get better. We got to learn from our mistakes. And bottom line is, all that matters is what we do next week. If we control what we got to do, if we can learn from this film, you know, figure out what we got to do to get better, and take care of Chicago.
It was a one-dimensional Vikings offense throwing the football very effectively. And the Eagles did an okay job against Matt Asiata, 30 carries, 51 yards, but he scored 3 touchdowns. And really, I thought Eagles missed several chances to tackle Asiata in the backfield. But for the most part, winning the battle at the line of scrimmage against the run, very physical up front. Eagles doing okay there. It will be different on Sunday night. And then the following Sunday, Matt Forte from the Bears, DeMarco Murray from the Dallas Cowboys. Run defense has to be outstanding. Actually, the whole defense has to be outstanding. And linebacker D'Amico Ryans understands that the Eagles have a lot to bounce back from, a lot to learn from after the tough times in Minnesota.
We got to make plays. We got them in situations. We got them in. We got good coverages on. We just got to come up with the ball, come up with a play at that time to get us off the field and get our offense the ball back. But we continuously let them, you know, drive down the field on us and put points on the board. We have to put this behind us and move forward. And, you know, if anything we take out of it, it could be a good humbling experience and know that, you know, we still got to work and do those little things, what got us on that winning streak. We got to go back, keep doing those things, and, you know, come out ready to go against Chicago. I don't think anybody let down. I see it as just, you know, we didn't execute. We didn't execute properly, and it don't matter who's playing, we still have to go out and execute our techniques and things of that nature. But defensively, I just feel like we didn't play well enough at all. Oh yeah, he was hot. Yeah, give them credit. You know, Cassel really played a great game, and their receivers did a good job of catching the ball, making plays on us, you know, especially in crucial situations. They were able to come up and keep drives moving. So that really, defensively, we let the team down today. We just had to play better.
All right, now let's talk about special teams, specifically the strategy on kickoffs. The Eagles did not want to put the football in the hands of Cordarrelle Patterson. an outstanding return man. Led the NFL going into the game with a 33-yard per kickoff average, 2 touchdowns returned. So let's take a look at the Alex Henry kickoff versus Blair Walsh. Average starting field position for the Vikings, the 33.6 yard line. And the Eagles, 25 yard line. So really, it was a significant difference. But the strategy defended by Chip Kelly here, and has defended it and will defend it, I'm sure, at his press conference. Patterson didn't touch football. Eagles had a couple of opportunities where they gave the Vikings some prime field position, specifically after crawling to within 27-22. Then the Vikings start their next drive on the 46-yard line. Blink of an eye to start the fourth quarter. They're in Eagles territory. So we get it. Strategy, as far as Eagles say, 33.6-yard line, gave up a few extra yards, but didn't give up the big one. So the strategy worked. Problem was, the defense did not get the job done. Defense just did not get off the field. And once again, third downs, the real killer for the Eagles defense. But certainly for Philadelphia, the idea was to keep it out of Patterson's hands. And Kelly was asked about it after the game, like he will be in just a few minutes. And as far as Kelly's concerned, it worked out okay. It just everything combined with the defense, with the offense missing opportunities in the red zone. It's just one of those days for the Eagles.
Yeah, we were concerned going into the game with Patterson, obviously the best returner in the league. And even, you know, if you look at what he's done during the season, even when you do kick it deep, he takes it out. And he's got a 109-yard kickoff return. Knew how dangerous he was, and we're just trying to keep the ball away from him. It's got to go out the back if he does it because, like, as I said, you know, Patterson has returned one 109 for a touchdown, so he's going to take it out no matter how deep it is. So it would literally have to be out the back of the end zone. Now, we hit the ball a lot better during the week and had covered it a lot better during the week.
Now, Alex Henry does have enough leg to kick it through the end zone, but look, the Eagles felt that any chance Patterson had to touch the football, he was going to bring it out, and they did not want to give up an easy touchdown the other way. Henry said he just followed the instructions coming from the coaching staff.
No, that's not what our game plan was. Like I just said, I probably could hit touchbacks. It's just one of those. If you miss hit it, it's in the guy's hands, and he's explosive, and he could return it probably. So, yeah, I was hitting the ball good today. I thought I was happy with how I was hitting the ball. That's what we worked on all week. So it was just the game plan we had in, the coaches put in, and just go out there and do what the game plan is. Just like offense, defense, anything, stick to the game plan, and that's what you work for all week. So.
Really good day for Henry, kicking the football and other aspects. 51-yard field goal, one of his three on the day, ties a career high. So Henry in a groove there. And by the way, Devin Hester awaits with the Chicago Bears. We'll see what the strategy is for the Eagles on Sunday night. Now, I know you guys are all ready to go, all ramped up, all ready to talk about the Eagles, and I'm here to help you out and listen to what you have to say. So on the other side, we start our phone calls leading into Chip Kelly's press conference at 1 o'clock. Give us a call, 215-339-6709, everybody. I want to hear about your day yesterday, your range of emotions, the loss to Minnesota, and then you're watching the Cowboys just pounding the Green Bay Packers, and then all glory as the Packers roar back in the fourth quarter. Eagles Live returns. I'm Dave Spadaro. Your phone call's up next.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
Let's go!
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. the power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Happy holidays, Eagles fans.
All right, gang, here we are, the final two games of this regular season. The stretch run officially here, so let's take a look at the Eagles' upcoming schedule. Presented by NFL Ticket Exchange, powered by Ticketmaster, for the only 100% verified way to buy or sell NFL tickets, visit NFL.com/ticket exchange. Well, you know all about it. It's Sunday night against the Bears here. The Bears leading the NFC North, although the Lions tonight play the Baltimore Ravens, so there's a great race in that division as well. And then could it all be decided? I mean, will this be a great way, although agonizing, to end the regular season at Dallas, 1 o'clock for now, a Fox broadcast against the Cowboys? That Fox game could get flexed out, and we will find out in 1 week if that's the case. So there's only a 6-day advance notice for that. We'll see just what the playoff race looks like in the NFL after tomorrow, after next Sunday's game. So who knows? Eagles could be flexed out 2 consecutive weeks and prime time for an entire country to see this young team grow and develop and win critical games down the stretch. Very important in the big picture here as this Eagles franchise builds a roster to win for many years to come. Let's get to the phone calls now. 215-339-6709. And Paul in Maryland joins us. Hello, Paul.
Dave, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hey, you know, I live right outside of D.C.
Yes.
I just want to tell everybody that these fans out here hate the Cowboys just as much as we do.
Yes, they do.
So the Redskins will be beating the Cowboys.
Well, I think the Redskins with Kirk Cousins are better suited than with RG3. The problem is, look, yesterday they turned the ball over 7 times. They go for a 2-point conversion at the end rather than kick the extra point to go into overtime. I'm cautiously optimistic that a Redskins team that has just 3 wins will give the Dallas Cowboys everything they can handle.
But Dave, like I said, man, these are real passionate fans out here as well. So, you know, I really think that it's really going to come to that evening game at Chicago, man. And, you know, it's about, you know, what can we do, you know, to win that game?
Well, I'll tell you right now, you know, Paul, you got Brandon Marshall, you got Alshon Jeffrey, you got Martellus Bennett, you got Matt Forte. There isn't a better foursome in the league than those 4 together.
But they are slower receivers. So I think
they're bigger. Now that's true. Big jump balls. Eagles are better equipped than most teams against the big receivers.
Right, because we got big corners as well. But Dave, let me get into Sunday's game real quick, because I know you got a lot of calls you want to call. Let me go ahead and address the elephant in the room.
Okay.
Real quick. The franchise player, the best player on that offense, is number 25. It's not number 9. Okay. Nick Foles is a good quarterback. You know, as I know, I was not a Nick Foles fan at first. But seeing him play, the one thing I love about Nick Foles, he does not turn the ball over.
Okay, so you want to talk about LeSean McCoy. Go ahead. Get to it.
I love that. LeSean McCoy, you cannot give your franchise player. And to me, that's the franchise player. Not the offense goes, offensive line, LeSean McCoy's legs, Nick Foles' arm. It needs to go in that order. That whole offense is predicated on that O-line, which is doing an outstanding job, might I add. So moving on to that, you cannot give your star player the football 8 times and expect to win the football game. We deserve to lose that game. We was only down by 8 points when Chip Kelly abandoned the run. It has nothing to do with the defense. It has nothing to do with the offense. It was just bad play calling by Chip Kelly and Bill Davis.
I think, Paul, thanks for the call. I think both coaches, I think every coach accepts responsibility for the loss. I don't think anybody's pleased with how it went. However, the Eagles did score 30 points. Now, if you had told me the Eagles were going to score 30 points and that the Vikings would come into a game without Adrian Peterson, without Toby Gerhardt, without their starting right guard, without their starting tight end who replaced their other starting tight end, and that the Eagles would score 30 points, I would have said, okay, Eagles may struggle here, but they'll win the game. Eagles' defense played poorly, let's be honest here. And offense didn't play great, and certainly the special teams either. But I would put it more on the defense against Matt Castle. Nixon in New York joins us. Hey, Nixon.
Hey, Dave, what's going on, buddy?
How are you?
Good, good. My main concern is that
I really can't hear Nixon.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my main concern is that play calling about Chip Kelly. What do you think about as far as keeping the ball out of the hands of the kick returner and the field position we're giving up?
Yeah, I personally wasn't entirely in favor of it. I guess I have more faith in the coverage units, and maybe it's not that. Look, I didn't study Cordarrelle Patterson. I think Patterson is an awesome player. But in the end, I don't think it cost the Eagles the game. The strategy cost them a couple of key moments of field position, however, and really the key was that one late third quarter when the Vikings took over on their 46-yard line, and then the defense couldn't get off the field. And the defense had Minnesota in some third and long situations, including the third and 12 pass to Chase Ford that Michael Kendricks was right there to make the play, and Castle made a really nice throw. So I get the strategy. I think statistically, we all have emotions and we want to criticize, and I understand that, but pure facts, if you want to just put pure numbers down, the strategy, average yard line, it really didn't cost the Eagles very many yards.
Yeah, I just think we need to get the ball back in Shady's hands. I mean, he's got the leader rushing in the game. He's got to give him the ball more than 5 or 7 times a game.
Yeah, I mean, and thanks for the call, Nixon. First half, look, LeSean McCoy was a non-factor, and the Eagles were terrible in the red zone. I don't really count the last possession of the first half because they didn't have an opportunity to run a play in the red zone. But prior to that, they were 0-2 in the red zone, and they had the one touchdown called back. And that's a different ball game. And then to come out early in the third quarter, first possession of the third quarter, and have a 3-and-out on a play when Nick held the football too long, had a chance to throw it away out of the pocket. Again, that really hurt the Eagles, not taking advantage of some momentum that they had. Hey, Eagles lost the game. It's going to happen. I did not think this team would win 8 games in a row. I don't think any team is going to win 8 games in a row. So hopefully the Eagles, that's the loss. They bounce back on Sunday against the Bears. Trevor in Pittsburgh joins us. Hey, Trevor.
It's actually from the Poconos.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, Trevor. How are you? Sorry, Trevor from the Poconos. I'm sorry about that.
Hey, where are the sacks on our defense? Why are we not hitting quarterbacks?
Well, I will tell you this, that, and again, Trevor, we've talked about this. Remember, guys, let's just take a deep breath here, okay? I realize that all of our expectations are way high, as are mine, and everybody in this building has high expectations. But we are also understanding this is the first year of a regime, of an era, and there are pieces that need to be put in place here. And chief among those pieces is 1, 2, 3 excellent pass rushers. Eagles were getting some of that from Trent Cole, getting that from Connor Barwin the last couple of games, and it really made a difference with the defense. The Vikings concentrated so much on getting the football out of Castle's hands quickly, short routes, screens, slants, the little stop routes, and they let their receivers catch and run. And that's in a lot. And then there were a couple of times when the Eagles dialed up the blitz, and Castle did a good job avoiding the pressure. And so, Trevor, I'm with you on that. The Eagles need more pressure. In the big picture, moving forward, to me, that's what you need more than anything on this defense.
I still have faith we can win the division, Dave. Go Birds. Have a great day.
You're the man. Thank you, Trevor. And the defense has gotten a lot better. Again, 9 consecutive games, 21 points or less, but it fell apart on Sunday. The Eagles didn't play a good game. No excuses. Eagles did not play a good game. They know it. Now the task at hand is to bounce back and beat the Bears. Chip Kelly coming up shortly. We take some more phone calls on the other side. It's Eagles Live. I'm Dave Spadaro. We are coming right back.
Have you started shopping?
Just waiting for inspiration to strike. And there it is. Done.
Genius.
Give the gift of Dunkin' coffee. Get 3 pounds for $19.99. Only at Dunkin' restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and the North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
This holiday season, my good friend gave to me 7 Powerball tickets, 6 Netflix chances, 5 cash bags, 4 Big Fours, 3 daily numbers, 2 Mega Millions.
Happy holidays, Rita.
Thanks, Joe.
What a great gift.
Pennsylvania Lottery tickets make great gifts, like the new $20 Merry Millionaire.
Happy holidays.
And best wishes from the lottery.
Nice sweater.
Thank you.
Festive.
You know it.
Hey.
Wow.
I know, right?
Knitted it myself.
Get in the spirit with Dunkin's new Red Velvet Latte. Pick up any medium latte for just $1.99. America runs on Dunkin'.
Welcome back. Dave Spadaro with you. Eagles Live, the name of the show. Chip Kelly coming up in about 13 minutes. Until then, we take some phone calls and allow you fans to get it off your chest. So let's go to Buffalo now and talk to Tom, who joins us. Hey, Tom.
Oh, Dave, I do need to get it off my chest.
Bring it.
Oh, man. Hey, I'm glad you've encouraged me this morning.
Yes,
I appreciate it.
Sure.
But you ask about emotions during the game. I tell you, I was down. I was down bad, and then when we got within 5, I said, here we go. This is it. And then down we went. But
right. My
day was made with the Dallas loss. That made my day.
I guess my thing with the Dallas, and we were on the airplane, and everybody was kind of following it and,
yep. You
know, cheering and going crazy, you know, sitting there with Merrill and Mike Quick and Harold and all those guys. And I guess my question with Dallas is, what kind of long-term ramifications will that loss have on the Cowboys as they go into Washington and as they host the Eagles the week after? Can they bounce back from that kind of loss?
I don't know, Dave. I think I have a lot of faith in the Redskins with Cousins in there. I think they could do it.
Never before have Eagles fans looked at a 3-11 Washington Redskins team with such favor, hope, optimism, and flat-out joy that they're hosting the Cowboys this week.
That's true, but, you know, Washington has done it before, and a poor Washington team has beat a good Dallas team in the past. So
yeah.
I think it'll help. I just had a couple more comments, Dave, if I can.
Sure.
On the kickoffs, I think I'm sort of like you. I think I disagree with what they did. Although when I saw your stats this morning, I realized it didn't make a big, big difference.
Yeah, it didn't make. As I'm watching, I'm going, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And then you realize that the yards where they started the drives was not that outrageous. But it really demonstrated to me that the Eagles wanted to put a lot of faith in the defense. The defense just didn't get off the field.
Nope, that's right. And I'm glad for the D back change too. That was a good move. That was needed. I don't want to knock any player, but that was needed. And now I don't know what's coming next week, but I hope Wolf gets back.
Yeah, I expect Wolf to get back, Tom.
Yep. Okay. Well, listen, they're going to get it done, Dave.
Yes, sir.
They're going to get it done.
Hey, man, we got a lot of football left. Thanks for the phone call. The truth is, this is great. All right? A win yesterday, that's the one you kind of figured, no question about it. But Eagles are in first place with 2 games to go in the division, in the season. I love it. I'm thrilled. If you had asked me back in August, hey, Dave, would you take this? Sure. I would have taken 8-6. So bring it on. There's a great level of excitement, anticipation for this game on Sunday. I want to see just what you want to see. I want to see the Eagles bounce back and beat a good Chicago Bears team. Let's go to Illinois and talk to Jeff, who joins us in Eagles Live. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Doing great.
Good.
I just want to talk about the Vikings real quick. I mean, they have lost many games by, you know, less than, you know, a touchdown or not. I think they're a very underrated team. I know they didn't have either of their running backs in, but I think people are being too, you know, pessimistic about this game, and our defense has played, you know, very well over the past 9 games and everything, but they had a bad game. We understand that. But
hey, Jeff, here's the deal. The Eagles fans, they're just disappointed. I mean, I get it. Everybody's disappointed. I was bummed out yesterday, too. Everybody was bummed out. That was a poor performance. It was just, you know, to me, the lack of kind of the breakdown in some of the moves the Eagles made character-wise was, and Chip Kelly said that this morning in his radio interview with 94 WIP, the morning show. They showed some things that were just uncharacteristic, some of the personal foul penalties, some of the taunting penalties, just some things that they've never done throughout the course of the season. The Eagles let the frustration get to them, and they're kicking themselves over a missed opportunity. So hopefully you learn from that and you get better.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Looking forward to these next 2 games. I mean, we're still definitely in the season here.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
And the Bears are going. Thanks for the phone call, Jeff. The Bears are coming with a great repertoire of offensive talent, a defense that struggles, no question about it. But Jay Cutler shrugging off the early game struggles that he had and came back with 3 touchdown passes. Tomorrow when Adam Kaplan joins me in studio, we'll break down the Bears a little bit more deeply and get into Chicago and put this game against the Vikings behind us. Tough game for the Eagles and a real tough game coming up on Sunday. Sean in Tampa joins us. Hey, Sean.
Dave, how are you doing today?
Hi, buddy. Bouncing back, pal, just like you.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, I like to say that I think that, you know, looking at the game, I'm not real sure what went wrong. I mean, I get it, the mental mistakes, but...
Yeah, Eagles were not as sharp, focused, mentally urgent. I mean, those kind of, I believe in that kind of thing. I believe in urgency. I felt like, you know, they thought they could catch up at any time, and they almost did, and then they just couldn't get off the field defensively in the late third quarter, early fourth quarter drive. It was so critical.
Okay, I could see that.
No, I mean, just a bad game.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
But, I mean, do you think that, I mean, Shady, only that with the 8 touches, I mean, was it me or would they seem to be run blitzing, you know?
I think, and thanks for the call, Sean, I think the Eagles felt like they had the Vikings down 3 cornerbacks and they were going to make big plays in the passing game and that they could use LeSean McCoy in the passing game, and they did that. He caught 5 passes. He had a total of 13 touches. Not enough. The score got too lopsided. I don't think you'll see LeSean McCoy touching the ball 13 times in the next 2 weeks. He will get a healthy dose of carries, receptions. You put the ball in the hands of your best player, and that's what the Eagles are going to do here against Chicago and Dallas. When we return, Chip Kelly's turn. He meets the media on the other side. I'm Dave Spadaro. It's Eagles Live, and we're coming right back.
You, Jones.
That's me. Mm-hmm.
Your home for the most live sports. Xfinity.
You can't find a great doctor just anywhere.
Sure you can.
Specialists?
Yep.
Primary care?
You bet.
Jefferson doctors?
Take a look at this.
Excellent doctors, lots of locations. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW.
Wow. That's a good number.
1-800-JEFF-NOW? It sure is.
I meant a good number of doctors.
I meant a good number 4 doctors.
I've got a feeling this could go on for a while.
No, it can't. You'll interrupt the announcer.
Find a Jefferson doctor. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
Thanks for financing my first car. Thanks for giving me your smile. Thanks for inspiring me. Thanks for showing me my potential. For teaching me not to take life so seriously. Thanks for loving me and being my best friend. Don't forget to thank those who helped you take charge of your future and got you where you are today. The boss of your life, the Chief Life Officer.
So you know the scenarios if the Eagles, as they sit there and wait on Sunday and they see the Cowboys win against the Redskins, well, it kind of makes the Sunday night game meaningless in terms of the NFC East. So what will Chip Kelly do? Will he rest some of his players? Will he be asked that today? We're going to find out in a minute here. If the Cowboys lose, of course, and the Eagles beat the Bears, the Eagles capture the NFC East 1 week before the season is over. That's what you want on Sunday. All right, Kenny in the Bronx. Welcome to Eagles Live. How are you, buddy?
Dave, what's going on, man? I'm in a bad mood with Dallas lost, so, you know, I feel real better. I agree with you, Dave. Nobody expects us to win 8 games in a row. That's, you know, but, I mean, the play calling and, you know, I think we should have kicked the ball to Cordell Patterson and just give our
What play calling did you not like, Kenny?
Well, I didn't like, throwing the ball too much. I mean, I know the Vikings had three of the key cornerbacks out, but I still felt we should have ran the ball. Chip Kelly said we wasn't getting enough push up front, but, I mean, you know, Sean McCoy made people miss, man. So, you know, that's the only thing I was kind of upset about. But, I mean, I don't know, Dave. What'd you think?
I just think the Eagles gave up 48 points to the Minnesota Vikings.
Yes.
And it's the most points that the Vikings have scored since 1998. And everybody contributed to it. You know, you turn the ball over on downs when your offense can't get a half a yard or 4 inches or whatever it was.
Exactly.
You give up drives from the very start of the game. You could feel it. The Vikings were eating up the clock. They were moving the football. Their first drive, Blair Walsh misses a 55-yard field goal attempt. I mean, they just moved the football. The Eagles didn't have an answer for Matt Castle and for a group of excellent receivers. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to obviously talk about – thanks for the call, Kenny. We're going to talk about the Eagles and what they need in the offseason. We'll talk about that all offseason. I want to see more depth at wide receiver because the Eagles want to bring through all these wide receivers, and they're not getting a lot of production from Jason Avant. They're not getting production from Jeff Mail. They're not getting production from Demaris Johnson. They got a nice catch and run from Brad Smith. But can you see the Eagles bringing in – 2-3 wide receivers who are studs. I'm not talking just fringe guys. Studs, big, strong bodies, and just wearing down defenses with the pass game. I mean, that's one of the things. Offensively, otherwise, I think it's pretty darn good here. Josh in New York joins us as Chip Kelly will be meeting the media here in just a couple of minutes. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Dave. I think the main thing that was going wrong is we're preparing for a different Vikings team.
Nah, like, no, it's not. I don't agree. Unless you're referring to an emotional letdown, and all of a sudden the Eagles took a big sigh of relief and said, no AP, no Toby Gerhardt, then yeah. But they ran the same plays they've run all year. There's no excuses. The Eagles just got beat by a red-hot quarterback and receivers who are very, very good.
Well, I mean, yeah, but you can say, you know, our defense played terrible, but I think one of the main things why our defense played terrible is because we haven't seen Matt Castle play like this. I mean, he played some really great football, and we weren't ready for that.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the Eagles were a little soft in their coverage. I thought they missed a lot of tackles. And it wasn't just that intensity, that physical nature in the secondary, Josh, that we had seen in the previous 9 games.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's time we got to get back against great receivers coming in here. I mean, the Bears are just outstanding. And they're going to make it tough on you. They're going to spread the Eagles' defense out, and they're going to use Forte like the Eagles use McCoy, and this could be a real high-scoring game on Sunday night.
Yeah.
All right,
thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks for the phone call. We've got time for maybe one more quick phone call before Chip makes his way to the podium to meet the media. Chip Kelly coming up here in just a second. And, in fact, we're not going to have time for a phone call. We're going to throw it to Chip Kelly in his day-after press conference. Here's the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles.
I think you have not spoke to Chris Peduzzi yet about injury.
No, I meet with him every Monday afternoon.
Okay. After the game, did you talk to Brandon Boykin at all to kind of just get a feel for?
I talked to Brandon, yeah. It seemed like he was doing okay. So I'll get the report from those guys after this.
If he can't go Sunday, what are some of your options at the slot?
I haven't discussed any of those, so.
Is it possible?
You can ask me tomorrow if he can't go.
Characterize generally your concern with the secondary, injury-wise, performance-wise, everything-wise.
Yeah, trying to find out what our health is an important thing, you know, where, what our all status is. Will he be back? Coleman was hurt at the end of the game. You know, Colt was banged up a little bit, so, you know, that's a big concern for us. And we'll get a feel after I talk to Chris and Doc today and kind of what we got to do moving forward.
You seem comfortable going forward and fourth and short on your own side of the field. What's your philosophy behind that? What's your general thinking?
There was no general philosophy. It was just at that point in game, it was 27-9. We hadn't really done anything. It was a half a yard. I figured we got to do something. We got to get something going here. And hopefully in that situation, you can pick up a half a yard. So we didn't do it. And, you know, I'll give our defense credit, put them on the field in an adverse situation. They held them to a field goal. So, you know, I'm hoping that when we have a half a yard to gain, that we can gain a half a yard. So.
Where's your confidence in Alex Henry? You obviously short kick all day yesterday. You had the situation against the Lions, the return with Holiday back against the Broncos. Where are you at confidence-wise with him in terms of getting touchbacks?
Yeah, I think that the difference in this team is when you play the Vikings is you have to kick the ball out of the end zone because Patterson's going to return it. He's got a 109-yard kickoff return to his credit this year. He's the most dynamic returner in the National Football League, you know, statistically. So that's the type of guy he is. You have to get the ball out of the end zone if he's not going to return it. So, and we monitor it, and we watch him pregame warm up and kicked some right at the end, at the beginning of the second half, and he's 5 or 6 yards deep in the end zone. So those are coming out. So, you know, just based upon where. What's that? We haven't put our game plan together that way.
You know he exists. You know what he does.
I know he exists, but I mean, there's more than just the returner. It's how do they block it? What are the guys up front? How are the other 10 other guys? What type of returns do they run and all that other stuff? So there's more involved with just who the guy is. So
on the non-onside kicks, I think their average was 33-6.
33-6. Going into the game, Cordell Patterson returned at 29-6, so it was a 3-yard differential.
In going into the game, did you have a target average starting field position you were hoping off those kicks?
No, I don't think it was a specific target, but I think obviously when you look back on it, we did a better job with the mortar kicks and the squib kicks. I think the squib kicks were the ones that hurt us. There was, you know, one bounce right to the up back, and then he got the ability to return it. The mortar kicks were a little bit more effective for us. So
looking at the replays of Deshaun, it looked like he was apparently having an argument with Bob Bicknell. If that was true, are you worried about that? Is there concern that?
No, I think Deshaun was frustrated, and you know, we threw an interception and just trying to calm him down and get on to the next play. So
that
I'm not concerned.
That series, Demaryius Johnson started instead of Deshaun. Was that a disciplinary move?
No.
What happened on that interception? It looked like Deshaun was open early. Was it a bad throw or a late throw? Or
You know, their corner fell off late. You know, we're running a tiered route over there with, you know, Riley going over the top and then Deshaun kind of running out and up over there. So, you know, their corner fell off of it. Didn't anticipate that was going to happen. And, you know, try to either got to get the ball in there earlier. But we're really not trying to throw it that way. Usually it's a clean throw or we got to get it to a check down. So.
You see an effort issue with Deshaun either playing D-back on a bad throwing ball or trying to make a tackle?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I don't know if he knows where the DB is. You know, I think when you turn your head and you're wide open, you're not looking. I'm not looking at you as a defensive back. I'm looking back for the ball. So.
Your defense played 1,023 plays, which is by far the most in the NFL. I think the average is like 914 or something like that. Are you concerned about that? And is there some sort of effect here now late in the season?
No, I don't believe that.
Billy Davis made the point after the game that this Minnesota game would be a test to see how the team responds when they're the favorite. Do you think that's a real thing, like almost kind of learning how to have success and how you respond to that?
No, I don't think that way. I think you should go into every game with the same mindset, whether you're people from the outside consider you the favorite or don't consider you the favorite. I think if you're paying attention to that type of stuff, then you're not really focusing on what you can control. And just, again, the message I give and the message that I've always lived with is worry about what you can control. So whether someone makes you a favorite doesn't mean I act differently, or someone says you're the underdog, you act differently, because then you're concerned with what things you don't control. You don't control what other people's opinions are, what that game is going into it. And if you are, you know, you're going to be a yo-yo up, yo-yo down guy, depending on how people tell you, you know, what they think going into the game. So, you know, I think your preparation should be the same. I think your mindset should be the same. And You know, sometimes it's easier said than done. That's not an easy thing to get accomplished, but I think that's ultimately the way it should be done.
What did you see from Nick Foles when you looked back through the tape? Were they confusing him with changing between zone and man? It seemed like he was standing back there a lot.
Yeah, you know, I just think Nick was a little inconsistent compared to where he'd been in the last five games, you know, and that's something, you know, we got to get in a film room with him. We got to see what he's saying, get a chance to visit with him. And, you know, what was your thought process here? Because there were times we had guys open, but we weren't 100% accurate with the ball. But it was a combination of everything. We had a few drops in there in critical situations that could have extended some drives and got some things going in the right situation. So, you know, it's not one guy. It's a team deal. And I think overall as a team, we didn't play up to the level that we could have played at to be successful.
After 14 games, do you have a sense of what the overall personality is of this team, whether after wins or after losses, and how would you characterize that personality?
I think they've been good. You know, we were 3-5 at one point with this team and reeled off five straight victories. So, you know, I'll get a better gauge tomorrow when, you know, we see how does this affect them in terms of this loss. And, you know, this game is a tough game to play. You know, it's a tough game. You never really understand the outcomes, and sometimes it's tough to try to you wrestle with it and try to justify how did this happen, how did that happen, and whatnot. But, you know, we're on a weekly schedule, and we got to get ready for the Bears now. We can't let the loss to the Vikings, you know, affect us for 2 weeks. Is that, you know, there's some fixable things that we got to watch a film. We got to go over with our guys. We got to correct those mistakes, and then we got to get ready for a really good Bears team coming in here.
From an attitude standpoint, what do you expect?
I expect them to bounce back. I've seen them bounce back before, so that's what I'm anticipating happening.
In terms of McCoy's carries, were they dictated by the score or by the matchup?
I think it's a combination of the two. You know, they were definitely playing single high safety and always had an extra guy down in there. Whether they had him down weak or they had him down strong, you know, they changed that up a little bit, but there was always going to be an unblocked guy within 2 to 3 yards of the line of scrimmage, you know, so that was a little bit different kind of approach. But if you're going to do that, you know, you got to play man coverage in behind it. You know, when I look at the production we had from, you know, our throwing game, we also got a chance to get the ball to LeSean in different ways in the passing game, and I thought he was very effective in the passing game. So
if the Cowboys beat the Redskins before you guys play Sunday night,
we're going to cancel the game.
Would you rest some of your starters?
No.
What's the thinking
with that?
We got to play. We're not in a situation where we got to rest anybody. As we got to play. We got to get back on the winning track, and you know, we've got to be ready to play winning football. And I think that our philosophy has always been is it's on the line every single time you play, and it's not really what goes on outside of there. Is that we need to get better as a football team. Everybody needs to play. So,
are you going to be monitoring the result of that game?
No, I'm going to live in a vacuum.
No, but I mean,
it doesn't matter. I mean, I will know the score. I mean, we all have phones and televisions and all that other stuff. But I mean, am I going to be glued to the set? No. I mean, it is what it is. Whatever happens in that game still doesn't affect us in terms of we still got to go out and play the Chicago Bears. So, you know, I don't think we're going to have a victory party and say, oh, heck, we got to get over to the stadium. We got a game right now. I mean, we got to go play.
What was the plane ride back like as the Dallas?
Not very good.
As the other game was unfolding and the Packers went, I mean, is there a change in mood? Are you guys tracking it?
Some guys have got some updates and they told us to score, but I know I didn't feel very good. I mean, I don't really care what goes on with Dallas, to be honest with you. We lost to the Vikings, and that's not a very good feeling. So, you know, I, again, my whole philosophy, I'm worried about what we can control, and we don't control what other people do. What we can control is how we played, and we didn't play well enough yesterday.
With Nick, he talked about missing some guys high early, especially in the first half. Did you see anything mechanical, footwork, anything like that?
No, I think it's getting your feet set, and I think that's a good point. You know, where are you in your drop? Are you consistent with your drop? Do you have the ability to get your feet set? Sometimes they did a decent job. That's a good front, you know, with Jared and Roberson and Williams in the middle getting a little bit of push. So sometimes he was a little bit inaccurate in terms of getting his feet set and throwing the ball, and he was high in a few throws.
Did you go back and look at the run-pass disparity and feel like you're still comfortable with how you kind of called the game, even when they're only hitting?
Whenever we win, I'm not comfortable. So there's never a breakdown of it has to be this, it has to be that. It's what are we gaining for yards? So, you know, you can bang your head against the wall and say, hey, we need to run the ball more. But if you run the ball, we went for it on 4th-and-a-half yard, and we did not get it. So, you know, probably kicked myself in the tail. We should have thrown a pass on that situation. So,
sure. With that in mind, down 17-9 at the start of the second half, 3 straight pass plays. Was there any thought to trying to come out and establish the run on that series?
No, we were just thinking about production. You know, the first one was a completion for 6, and we're in a 2nd-and-4. If we can just throw it away on the next down and not take a sack, and then we're in 3rd-and-4, and we're in a workable 3rd-down situation. And those are things we need to continue to work on as an offense and understand playing situational football. It's the same thing with the 4th-and-short. It was 3rd-and-1 the play before. You know, if we just gain the first down and just get up in there and gain the first down, then we're not in that situation where we even have a, put ourselves in a situation where we got to go for it on fourth down. But that's just as the season goes along and as this team goes along, we still got to understand situational football better.
Church, you mentioned the single high safety, and early in the game, Nick ripped off some fairly good runs with that. Can the read up that replay take a team out of the single high safety, and did it affect?
No, because I think when you watch one of the third downs we had, we tried to do the same thing, but then Jared Allen played the quarterback. You know, so I think people are going to give you different looks. They're, no one we've played has played the entire look, the entire game, and this is what we're going to do. They, you know, they do a good job. They change it up in terms of how they're going to do it. And, you know, they were bringing a safety down strong. They were bringing a safety down weak. Sometimes the defensive ends were crashing on the running back, and then it left it open for Nick. But, you know, in a critical third down situation, you know, they didn't. You know, if we had just handed off, we would have got it. You know what I mean? And that put us in the fourth down situation where we ended up going for it again. But, you know, I don't know if that play right there is kind of befitting of what the day was all about. You know, we run a double reverse for a touchdown that's called back because of a clip, which is a legitimate penalty call. I mean, it was the right call at the time by our quarterback, you know, going back towards his own line of scrimmage. I would guarantee that's the first time a quarterback has been called for that. But, you know, it was a penalty, and that is the rule. You can't block back towards your line of scrimmage in a cut situation. So, but that's kind of, you know, that was one of those, that's kind of what the day is like. It's a touchdown. No penalty, why? Quarterback cut block.
I heard, I think it was ESPN, they said in practice, Nick should have known that if he practiced that play. Do you explain to the quarterback?
Yeah, we practice that play.
Okay, and he knows.
We explain that. The other reason you don't want your quarterback to cut block is usually he's susceptible to get hit in the head in those situations, and you're really just trying to shield people and not get him really involved in the play. So.
So it's really just his reaction.
Yeah, it was an athletic guy reacting, and just, you know, I don't fault Nick, but I think he just reacted out there, you know what I mean? And that's obviously, at that time, not the proper play, but I understand the situation. So.
Your name is now being mentioned in rumors for the Texas job.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the same answer you did to the USC rumors?
No, I mean, I understand you have to ask the question, but I'm not involved in any jobs. I'm the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, and going to prepare for the Bears. We're going to prepare for the Cowboys after that. Hopefully we had an opportunity to go to playoffs, and I plan to be here for a while. So.
Ertz took 14 more snaps than Brent. Was that because of the passing game, or is that?
I think some of the things we're doing, you know, with that, and there's certain things where, you know, when you get into a throwing game, it gets Zach in the game a little bit more. So.
Jeff asked you about the incident with Deshaun on the sidelines with Coach Bignell. Is that a situation where you need to talk to the two of them, or is it kind of just forgotten?
Afterwards? Yeah, we handle all those things. No, I talked to Bobby, I'll talk to Deshaun, and we'll get the thing straightened out. But it wasn't. It's not as big a deal as I think everybody wants to make it out to be. So.
Jeff, why do you think, getting back to the Texas thing, why is your name coming up? I mean, you've been here less than a year.
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't talk to anybody. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, it's just speculation. So I don't. Haven't spoken to anybody, nor will I speak to anybody. So,
do you consider yourself? I mean, now that you've been in the pro world, do you consider yourself a pro coach now? You know, I think that's part of why you get involved in speculation is the idea that you're this great, successful college coach. Do you consider yourself in this realm for good?
I consider myself a pro coach 8 times this year, and 6 times I haven't.
Talk about fourth and one play. You talk about the flight home. What decision? What play is most keeping you up, so to speak?
They all keep you up. That's the one thing. It makes for a great story to write. It was this. It's every single call you make, and it's every single thing you do, and it's also whether you win or lose. And I've said that all along. And I say everything's a 1 week season, and you know everybody's happy and jumping around last week, and now all of a sudden the sky is falling. I mean that's the way it is. That's what this game's all about, and that's what this deal's all about. And it's got to be a 1 week season, you know, and for 5 straight weeks, we did a pretty good job and Mondays were pretty good around here. And today, Mondays aren't pretty good, but they shouldn't be pretty good because we were disappointing and we didn't do what we were supposed to do yesterday. And can't make excuses. We'll watch the tape. We'll make corrections and we'll come back tomorrow and get ready for the Bears.
I understand what you said about running and why things were like they were yesterday, but can you have good rhythm in your offense if you don't run very much?
Hypothetically, yes.
Is it hard?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard when you're not successful. If you're not moving the football, then it's hard when you're not successful. But I would argue that the Vikings were very successful in how they threw the ball against us yesterday and didn't run the ball all that often. But they threw the heck out of it against us. So.
What were the issues in the secondary? You mentioned them throwing the ball. Was it missed assignments, miscommunication?
Nah, you know, I think, first off, I thought Castle played a really, really good game. You know, when you go back and watch the tape, you know, I thought he put the ball in some tight coverage sometime in perfect situations. The one down the sideline, you know, on Fletch kind of sticks out in my head. There were some times where he just dropped back. He was decisive. He ripped it and put the ball on the money. But there's also things we can do to be closer. You know, we need to play, I think, a little bit tighter in some of those situations. And you know, sometimes we did get to him. I thought, by and large, I thought Fletcher Cox did a really good job. But I think the biggest thing for us is the critical situations on third down. We have to get them off the field, and we didn't do that well enough on Sunday.
Tighter. Is that a scheme thing? The guys are told to play off a little bit? Or
No, not specifically. So it just depends on the individual call. So. But there were times just in man coverage where we just weren't close enough to our guy. You know, I think we're big 3rd and 14 right at the end of the, you know, it's 27-22 game, and they convert on the pass to the tight end. You know, that's the stuff we're talking about. But we're in man coverage in that situation. So,
have you had the chance to talk to Kerry Williams or talk to Billy about what happened?
No, I haven't talked to any of our players. They're not back till tomorrow. So I'll visit.
That's why I was.
No, I didn't.
And Billy Davis. About
I talked
what
to
happened.
Billy. Yeah, I know exactly what went on. So, but I haven't had a talk to Kerry or didn't talk to any of our players.
So was it a benching? Was he pulled?
Yeah,
he just
sat him down because he was a little distraught about the call, and we needed to have clear heads, and we were out there when we were playing.
Players like him and Deshaun kind of toe that emotional line. It seems is that something that they have to learn? Is to pull it back in when things are not going well?
I think we all have to learn that, you know, and I think that's part of what it is being a competitor, is that you have to learn how to play with emotion but not let emotion play with you, and that no matter what goes on, we still have to keep our poise out there, and that we got to be able to play the next snap, and if we do have a bad play, we need to move on to the next play. We need to learn from what we did on that play in terms of if it was a mistake on our part and how do we correct it. But, you know, we can't let the last play affect us on the next play. And I think that's a lesson for all of us to learn, just like we can't let the Vikings game affect the Bears game. And that's a easier said than done for all of us. I think we all have to be that way. You know, sometimes there's a critical call and guys are getting on the official, hey, he ain't gonna change the call. Let's move on. Let's get on to the next play and let's see what we can control and what we can't affect. And that's kind of what we talk about all the time, but you still have to live it, so.
So there were several plays where the Vikings were able to kind of capitalize on off coverage by you guys, giving a lot of cushion, receivers making plays underneath. In that case, did you need to, in the second half, adjust that, or did you?
I think
not
we did adjust
well?
It. I mean, I think we've had a pretty good mix. So Billy had a pretty good mix in terms of pressures and mans and zones and all the other things. So.
So the problem the first half was when they did, there was some tackling in front.
Yeah, there's some tackling. There were some times where obviously the ball's thrown in front of us. Now we rally up and make a tackle, and then we're off the field. You know, and I think that's the biggest thing. If you are playing zone coverage, and we talk about it, we're always going to play deep to short. But when the ball's thrown short and the ball's thrown in front of you, then we need to wrap up, we need to tackle, we need to get the guy down on the ground. And there was too much run after the catch in those situations.
Night games are part of the deal in this game, and you have to play them. But do you think going over the top is more difficult under the lights than during daytime games?
No, I don't.
Exit stage right for head coach Chip Kelly as the Eagles get ready for the Chicago Bears. We'll have the injury updates for you as we go through the week here, and we'll get ready for the Bears. Adam Kaplan joins me in studio tomorrow. Nick Foles meets the media along with Deshaun Jackson after the show. We are live tomorrow at noon. Please join us as the stretch run officially here, ladies and gentlemen. The Eagles atop the NFC East. Fun times as we close out the 2013 regular season. I'm Dave Spadaro. Thanks for joining me today on Eagles Live. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.